Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, my name is Robert Lamb, and this is The Monster Fact, a short-form series from Stuff to Blow Your Mind focusing in on mythical creatures, ideas, and monsters in time. In this episode, we will finish our look at the four chaos gods of the fictional far future universe in Games Workshop's Warhammer 40,000. In previous episodes, we looked at Bloodthirsty Khorne, the Hyperprotean Tzeentch, and the Plague Lord Nurgle. Today, we enter the domain of Slaanesh, the Lord of Excess. In 40K lore, we are told that Slaanesh is the youngest of the Chaos Gods, having only truly accreted out of mortal souls and emotions with the fall of the decadent Aldari civilization, an event that all but destroyed the Aldari and tore open a massive warp rift known as the Eye of Terror. Slaanesh's domain is that of hedonistic excess, but also that of need, want, and obsession. The demons that manifest in Slaanesh's service are alluring contradictions that blur the line between pleasure and pain, desire and revulsion. The demonettes of Slaanesh make up most of the Chaos Gods' battle force, and they feature some favored characteristics of Slaanesh's servants. They are humanoid beings with pale flesh and long purple hair, alluring yet also equally ghoulish. Their feet and legs are reminiscent of reptiles or birds, bringing to mind such real-world mythic traditions as that of harpies and succubi. Oh yes, and they also have crab claws. Lots of crab claws. Something that doesn't really connect to any mythic or folkloric traditions that I'm aware of, but they absolutely make it work, and it has become a signature aspect of their look. Demonettes also appear bilaterally asymmetrical, particularly in the chest region, where one side features a female breast and the other a male breast. While titillation is clearly part of this design, it also strongly echoes the male-female duality in the symbolism of Baphomet from occult and Western esoteric traditions. This influence is especially prevalent in the towering Keeper of Secrets, the deadly Slaaneshi demon champions, which often, especially in recent depictions, feature strong goat-like characteristics, such as foot and head, reminiscent of Baphomet. But there's another servant of Slaanesh that I'd like to talk about here, and that's the Mask of Slaanesh. This purple-hued herald once danced in the good graces of the Lord of Excess, but according to the 9th edition Chaos Demons Codex from Games Workshop, the mask fell out of favor with Slaanesh and is now cursed to dance and cavort forever across strange realms and battlefields. The dance of the mask emboldens surrounding Slaaneshi forces, but also ensorcels enemy troops to join into its spiraling dance, where it slices them to exotic ribbons of flesh. This, of course, brings to mind a famous mania from our own history, the dancing plagues of the 14th through 17th centuries. As pointed out by John Waller in A Forgotten Plague, Making Sense of Dancing Mania, published in 2009 in The Lancet, a certain degree of embellishment stains some of these accounts, but cases in 1374 and 1518 are pretty well documented. Most sources agree that dancing plague incidents involved groups of individuals swept up in long bouts of involuntary dancing. The dancers cried out in pain or pleaded for mercy. In some accounts, they danced until they died. While enigmatic and certainly hard to believe from a modern perspective, dancing plagues are not without skeptical explanation. Waller explores a few leading ideas in the paper. First, there's the possibility of ergot poisoning, a topic we've discussed in depth on Stuff to Blow Your Mind before. It's caused by the consumption of fungus-infected grains that can lead to nightmarish altered states of consciousness. Waller also discusses the possibility that the dancers could have been in an involuntary trance state, something people are far more susceptible to during states of intense psychological distress. And these centuries certainly provided plenty of stressors. This explanation also required exposure to a pre-existing belief about dancing plagues, and in these cases, the cause would be believed to be some sort of a spirit or a curse. And there is evidence for this in art, literature, and law from these time periods and regions. So Waller writes, quote, "Every so often, when physical and mental distress rendered people more than usually suggestible, the specter of the dancing plague could quickly return. All it then took was for one or a few poor souls believing themselves to have been subject to the curse to slip into a spontaneous trance. Then they would unconsciously act out the part of the accursed, dancing, leaping, and hopping for days on end." It's a different sort of compulsion than that found among the followers of Slaanesh, but there are other examples of mass hysteria or mass psychogenic illness to consider, such as laughing epidemics and witchcraft panics, though of course Slaanesh doesn't have to work through such real-world means to control people. That's all for this Monster Facts series, but I think I'm going to continue the basic format here with future episodes, drawing on groups of creatures from other fandoms and other traditions. So tune in for additional episodes each Wednesday in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcast feed. As always, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.